We're going into Rosh Hashanah. We're going to shift into 5786. We have to be ready for the Lord of the second chance. Sometimes you just need a do-over. What triggered me? What are the things I did and said and wish that I didn't do and say? It's the month of a second chance. In this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast, we're breaking down the Hebrew month of Elul. Now, in past couple years with the Kurt Landry Podcast and some other podcasts, Rabbi Kurt has really dove into the Hebrew month of Elul. But Rabbi, in this one, I want to keep it real simple as we start. Baseline, what is the Hebrew month of Elul? I know we're about to transition into a new Hebrew year of 5786. So let's just start that off in this episode. Basically, what is the Hebrew month of Elul?
The Hebrew month of Elul is really the preparation to start the new year at the fall feast. So it's a time of being able to, like if you were getting married, you would say, okay, the wedding's in 30 days. Well, that 30 days is not like any other 30 days that you're going to have. We had a really pretty big wedding at, it wasn't at House of David, but it was House of David members. So I did all the marital counseling, and then we had to do a wedding rehearsal. It was a big thing. If you can kind of put yourself into that mindset of, okay, I'm going to my own wedding with the Lord, and I'm making covenant and I'm marrying into my bridegroom Jesus for a new year that's coming. We're going into Rosh Hashanah. We're going to shift into 5786. Six is the number of man. I don't want to bring the prophetic word to you right now that I have, but it's basically, it's a big word. In fact, I'm blessed. Chuck Pierce has asked me to speak on Saturday night at his head of the year to bring this word. And that seems a little bit of a hook or baiting you, but it's going to be powerful. But the key is we have to be ready for the Lord of the second chance, okay? So the key with Elul is it really is the second chance. A little bit of the history of Elul. With Elul, when you go to Talmuz, the 17th of Talmuz is when Moses came down the mountain to find the idolatry of the golden calf. And he got angry, okay? And then in the midst of that anger, he threw the tablets down. And then he had to go into a season of repentance for himself and the people for the idolatry. And all of this, that season basically is in the month of Elul. So the month of Elul for me is, it's the month of a second chance. And I think all of us in our life, I think all of you, sometimes you just need a do-over, and Elul would be the month of the do-over.
So let's take it this direction a little bit, and you kind of redirect, right, if you want to go a different direction. But I think for people listening, watching this podcast, let's just say they have just found the channel, or maybe they've been following spiritual teaching with you for years, right? And they haven't really connected spiritually this time. So like they've listened to the teaching, they've watched it. What advice would you give them at this point as we make the turn in this Hebrew year, we're making a transition to a new one? What's a couple practical steps for them to just grow their faith to where like they can trust that and really dive deep so they can get it this year, and then next year they can kind of move forward a little bit faster?
Yeah. Okay. So let's do this very practically. When you just came through July leading up into August, is you had the month of Talmuz leading into the month of Av. Now, the ninth of Av is historically has been when the first temple was destroyed on the ninth of Av. The second temple was destroyed on the ninth of Av. World War I started on the ninth of Av. The expulsions of the Jews out of Gaza, out of Gush Katif was on the ninth of Av, 2005. Christy and I were actually on the ground there when that happened. So a lot of bad stuff happens during July and August historically and spiritually. So let's reflect on this. You're watching this podcast right now, and you should be asking yourself this question in reflection to the opportunity of the month of Elul. What triggered me? Where did I lose it? Where are my weaknesses? What are the things I did and said and wish that I didn't do and say? All those things, because what happens is that month of Tammuz into Av is a pressure cooker. And the reason it's a pressure cooker is it's trying to bring to the surface the things in our spirit and our soul that are contrary to the promotion that's going to come in the fall feast. And the month of Elul that we're going into is when you can be honest and say, and I'll give you like five or six things you can do. But when you're honest and you reflect on July and the first part of August and you say, wow. Listen, I have never taken a sabbatical before. I'm coming off a sabbatical.
You feel good?
I feel great.
Okay.
But I'm also glad to be back to work. This is my first day back to work. A friend of mine, Greg, was at my house today and he said, like, clarify what's a sabbatical. And I said, a sabbatical for me is where I take time from not preaching and making content. And I mean, I still had pastoral, you know, medical, you know, people going to the hospital, praying. I actually did two hospital calls and all that. So it doesn't mean I'm not pastoring. Caring for the people, you don't sabbatical from that. But what I did is I exchanged all my, and you know this well, because all the content and preaching that I do, I stopped. So what that does is that stops my mind from producing messages so that I can do introspection on myself. And so what happened is I had to basically kind of take a personal inventory. And what I did is I identified my triggers. I identified where I need to make improvement. I identified what action plans I'm going to do to self-improve. And then how do I bring that into House of David, Kurt Landry Ministries, and all the affiliations that we have, and even the businesses we have? How do I take that revelation and bring it in? Now, the reason I'm so excited about the month of Elul is there were several things that people say, see, we told you. There were several things that I didn't like about my thoughts, my behavior, and the way I was interacting. And so because of that, this time of Elul is when you actually take that inventory, and here's the steps. I'll give you the steps, okay? Step number one, prepare time for repentance and introspection. It takes time. I have been blessed over 36 years to have a lot of confidence in my relationship with the Lord. He called me. He chose me. I'm not appointed by man. I'm appointed by God. I don't mean that in anywhere in a prideful way, but I mean that in a way of love from the Father. He knows with all my faults and faux pas, he called me. My faults and my faux pas and my weaknesses don't disqualify me from my call, but they do hinder me from being able to answer my call at the level I need to answer. And so it's interesting, like why I'm on sabbatical. I have connections with two major government leaders in the world that are interested possibly in having some conversation with me. So what I have to do is I have to be fair about that and say, you know what? I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready spiritually for that level to meet with this one and that one. I'm honest. I'm just telling you, I'm not ready for that. I do private meetings with leaders. That's one level. But when you're doing private meetings and now all of a sudden CNN and different ones are picking up on it, that's a whole different level of demonic activity. And so I thought, I've got to take my spiritual game to a higher level. So how do I discover that? During the month of Tammuz and the month of Av is kind of like a place where everything gets shaken that can be shaken. And so you can either get angry or bitter, or you can say, this is a time of repentance and introspection. This is a time to confess and abandon things that separate you from God. So I have a checklist of things that I'm just not going to do anymore or care about. So I actually made a list, and I've got a folder over there. Of course, this was almost a 30-day sabbatical. So I probably have handwritten notes of 30 pages of, you know, different things. You need to embrace, number three, you need to embrace spiritual transformation. See, a lot of times people don't want to embrace it. On this sabbatical, I'm just using me as an example, the Lord was getting me up at 3 a.m. He was getting me up at 5:30 a.m. And I like to sleep in. When I say sleep in, I'd like to sleep into 7:30.
Yeah, that's nice.
Not 3, you know, because I don't go to bed till midnight. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting very short hours of sleep. But what the Lord was saying, in this season of time, I need to speak to you early before you get distracted.
Oh, yeah.
And before there's other distractions. I know you get up early, so you're used to that. So anyway, I'm making that adjustment.
Hey, before you get to the other three, you know, a question that hit my mind for the Hebrew month of Av, right? And the ninth of Av, and, you know, we've done a couple episodes that aired, you know, a couple weeks ago, pushing a month ago, kind of leading into it with a spiritual teaching. But I was talking with my wife. So two different situations the past 4 or 5 days, you know, lead into what we now have, the Hebrew month of Elul. And we talked a lot about in those episodes being intentional and recognizing and slowing down. Because obviously in the Hebrew month of Av, like, you don't want to make big decisions. Right? Be slow to what you're doing, especially in like all aspects. So being intentional and just recognizing. And so, as we make this transition, right? And especially as we get close to a new Hebrew year, what makes this time in the Hebrew month evolve? Because I was talking with Tucker, who's our senior director of marketing. And, you know, I mean, like, we're in a growth season. Right here at the ministry, there's a lot of stuff going on, and we're trying to figure out how to navigate it and make decisions. And he reminded me yesterday, he said, "Hey, Hebrew month evolve." Right? I was like, "Oh, okay, let me slow down." And you know, it makes sense, you know, and like in my personal life, you know, I mean, I won't dive into the stuff about with me, my wife, or my family, but like when you slow down and recognize some of those things, right? Like, quick to anger, right? Quick to overreact. I mean, like just these little bits and pieces that kind of, you know, just fester, right? And so like when you brought in like just what you're kind of struggling with and like having to take a step back and like why the sabbatical, which you didn't do the full sabbatical, you were close, right? I'm really proud of you. You didn't get me in trouble with Megan once, which is the first time when we've tried to do a sabbatical. But you know, it just talking with Tucker, talking with my wife, you know, the past couple of days and some stuff that kind of came up, I was like, where is this coming from? It's coming out of left field. You know, it feels like that. But like when you get into alignment and start understanding these Hebrew months and you start taking notes, right? So if you got a daily habit and pattern of, especially in this month, and like as we transition to Rosh Hashanah, the intentionality of just recognizing where the enemy's coming in at, right? I mean, it starts to make a lot of sense. Right?
You have to find the source of the trigger. And when you find the source of the trigger, I'll give an example. Let's say things aren't working the way you want them to work. And a delayed delivery of a promise. Well, let's say this doesn't apply to my parents, but it may be your parents. Maybe your parents were great at making a promise, but not good at fulfilling the promise. Because, you know, I'm pastoring for a lot of years, and you'll have people who have difficulty trusting leadership, excuse me, trusting God, because of their earthly parents promising the moon and never delivering. And so what happens is now that you're born again, you're spirit filled, God gives you a promise, and then there's a delay but you trigger the delay into anxiety, fear, doubt, and unbelief. And out of your soul, your mind, and you start speaking out, well, I knew I shouldn't have trusted that. I knew I shouldn't have put a down payment on that. I knew I shouldn't have believed for that. I knew. And what happens is the trigger of it is you never really forgiven your parents for not delivering on the promises that they made. So you're still carrying that. And what it's doing, it's affecting it now. Now it's kind of rolling over into your relationship with God. Like, see, God's just like my dad, or God's just like my mom, and they're not delivering on time. Here's the key with the Lord: delay is not denial. If you can ever get to a place where you just trust the delivery time and the result to the Lord, it brings great peace. And I can tell you my experience in 36 years, the key is His timing is always 100% perfect. And I'm an impatient type A person. I've had to discipline myself not to complain about the fact that it's not being delivered on time. So that's what this month of Elul. The month of Elul is to be able to identify what's the deep root of that trigger? Okay, you thought you were getting the promotion at work, and somebody else that you perceive is less qualified than you got the promotion. So then you're feeling overlooked. Well, that may go back to, you know what? During kickball at school, you were always the last one picked because you weren't real athletic and you weren't popular. Maybe you were I don't know, however that works. But you need to go back to in your soul and ask the Lord and be still. This is a month where you be still. Look at Moses. This whole month is where Moses does intercession. He prays for himself and he prays for all of Israel. Where did the idolatry come from? You know, listen, I'm not trying to counsel Moses. He's in the great cloud of witnesses. But maybe Moses didn't do a great job. We know that he had some communication issues. It says that in the Bible. That's why his brother Aaron had to do things. He said he was a stutter and all this different things. But maybe Moses should have, before he went up to the mountain, gathered everyone up and said, listen, I have no idea how long this is going to take. We've not done this before, but I'm going up the mountain, and let's all stay in agreement and prayer so that when the delivery comes, okay, when the delivery comes, then guess what? You know, we'll have it. Because the month of Elul is when they had to make the second tablets. Isn't this as interesting? God gave them a second chance. But now they have to carve the stone out of the tablets at the bottom of the mountain themselves. He has to carry it from the bottom all the way back up to the top to get the second chance. That's the key. That's the key with, you don't want to always have to use the second chance card, because the second chance, yes, you got it, but it's always more difficult. It's expensive. Look at all the sons of Korah. I mean, you know, a bunch of people got killed with that golden calf issue. So my point is, yes, you get a second chance, but my lesson is this. In Elul, you want to be able to identify what causes you to always need a second chance, come out of agreement with it so that when Rosh Hashanah comes, you'll awaken. Yom Kippur comes, you'll be sanctified. And when Sukkot comes, you will abide and go forward as a new creation and not be taking those things that cause for the second chance. You know, I mean, you really need to cut that trailing history or spirit of second chances. I can tell you, I watch it in people. And, you know, Christy and I, we've been doing the calendar for over 30 years. Like I said, and I just, for the first time, took this sabbatical, but my whole purpose for the sabbatical is at 70 years old, I don't have time for a second chance. I can't be like the children of Israel going to the promised land and say, hey, there's giants. I don't have 40 years to go out in the wilderness and come back. So I really had to take a focus for the entire ministry and everyone that follows us and say, we need not to be followers of the Lord of the second chance. We need to be those who nail it on the first chance.
Yeah, I think recognizing, at least from a ministry perspective, and you know, I mean, you personally, that we've got a really big season ahead. I mean, just not a new Hebrew year, right? I mean, like, there's a lot of big things that goes into God's perfect timing, perfect plan. We've talked about that a ton over the past year and a half, pushing 2 years of the podcast. And I think kind of moving forward in trusting that, right? Because there's a lot that's about to come. And so, you know, I love when you're giving those examples and just the thought that comes back to me, especially in this Hebrew month. And as we, again, I'm not trying to look ahead. We'll obviously have episodes. We'll have the feast, right? I mean, hopefully if people can join us at House of David. If not, join us online. You know, we'll be streaming. But, you know, it's just to slow down, get collected, right? Know what's ahead. Get education on what it is. Dive into the teaching, right? Dive into prayer. Dive into your Bible. Be honest with yourself. Really recognize those things. So let's do this. We're trying to find somewhere to land the plane, but
let me just say let me say something to you. Just I want you to pray about this. Some of you have never been to House of David, and I think the Lord's done this on purpose because we are in a very rural area in Northeast Oklahoma. It is not a convenient place to go to. It's difficult. It's a portal. It's an altar. People have prophesied that even the awakening revival that's coming to the United States and to the world is going to come out of Oklahoma. There are prophets that you would know their name that even said it's coming out of Northeast Oklahoma. So, I mean, I get the responsibility of that. But one of the reasons, it would be great for you to come and have the experience. It'd be great for you to go into the immersion. It would be great for you to slide your feet up under the table. When we do the big Passover and we do it at Sukkoth and we have the meal, I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting here with anywhere from, depending on which event, 300 to 500 people with a 4 or 5 course meal. Everyone's dressed up. There's an anointing. And it's actually on the day of the feast of the Lord. And you're there. Your feet are under the Lord's table. Now, I want to give you the biggest takeaway in regards to behavioral change. There is a place in behavioral change when wisdom, knowledge, and understanding needs a friend. And the friend is the experience. There is something about carving out, saying, you know what? I got to pick up the phone. I got to pull out my credit card. I've got to buy an airline ticket. I have to rent a car. I have to register at the hotel. I have to register to the event. I have to get time off my job. I have to do what, you know, I've got to put the pets in the kennel. I've got to get a dog sitter. All the stuff. It's amazing. And then as soon as you start going down that path, the enemy's going to start coming to try to stop you and cancel it. But anytime you dedicate 3 days to focusing and being in the presence of God, you're going to take all the wisdom and knowledge that you've been accumulating through the live stream and through other ministries and through the podcast. All of a sudden, the experience causes, so to say, the egg to break open. And it births into you, into the new experience. That's why we do the stuff at House of David. That's why I'm not like doing it someplace. I'm not doing it in LA near the airport. I'm not doing it in New York City. I'm not doing it in Dallas. There's something about having to go to that special place that is difficult to get what's almost impossible to get, except through the experience of being with other believers all in agreement in a place that has been prayed over, immersed in prayer, immersed in mercy, that has been prophesied over by major prophets as being that portal. So this isn't me trying to get you to come, but I'm just saying some days, there's a time in your life when you have to say, it's like going to Israel. There's some time when you just say, you know what? I have to put my feet and I have to walk where Jesus walked. It's expensive. It's, you know, it's difficult, not easy to get to Israel. But for all of you that have been with us to Israel, you know, all of you say the same thing. I have never had one person say, man, that trip was a waste of time. Everybody says the same thing. Man, oh man, I'll never be the same. And the shortest trip to Israel for you is going to Oklahoma, coming to the feast. So my point, Daryl, is what I'm saying is that there's something about taking your time, that 3 days, and your resources, and actually going to where the Lord tells you to go up.
You know, you do this thing on the podcast, Rabbi. You make too much sense. In a time of the world where common sense is like a superpower. You know, I mean, I sit back when like it's really hitting you and you're bringing a point, word, you're discipling, and I sit back and I just want to laugh a little bit. Not like, you know, but like, man, you just make it simple. Let's
do this. Sometimes you have to pay the price. I'm going to give one other example that just from this sabbatical, like made sense.
Okay.
After October the 7th, we immediately get a call and our friends in Israel say, we don't normally do this, but we really need you to come. That was it. They didn't say why. They just said, we need you to be here. That's it. There was no pitch, no nothing. They didn't tell me how bad it was. I mean, obviously, I'm watching the news. I know how bad. But they said, we need you to come. You know, the base that was attacked on the Gaza base that's on the border of Gaza is our first base that we've supported. We supported for 15 years. And we lost 9 commanders on that base. And these are people we know. But they just said, you need to come. And it was one of those things where I didn't pray about it, didn't ask Christy or anything. I just said, okay, we're coming. We dropped everything. And it was very inconvenient, extremely expensive, and very difficult because the airport was shut down for a long time. Anyway, long story short, we got there. We go and we see the most horrendous things that anybody can imagine. Because we went everywhere where people can't go. And because we do work with the IDF, they took us in and we saw everything. Now, so here we are. We're out here and I'm on the sabbatical. And the Lord showed me. And he said, if I didn't share the suffering and the pain that he was going through, the Lord, with what happened in the South at the music festival and Kibbutz Kfar Aza and the other places. He said, I trusted you to share in the suffering. And I got to tell you, Christy and I are tough. We don't look tough, but we've been doing this a long time. And I've been in every war Israel's had in the last 35 years. I've been there. Intifada, we've been there with rockets. So it's not like we're wimpy people. It's not that. But we got wrecked. And we suffered. But what the Lord said for the whole ministry, Jesus grew in stature because of the things he suffered. Mm. So the sabbatical, he took us back to, you know how we are with children. We support the largest children organization and we're like very close with Yeladim. We work with them because of Sarah Netanyahu told Bibi, we want the Landrys to be a part of this. And we've been doing that for like 15 years. And so many children were hurt and destroyed in this situation. And for all these days, I've been asking the Lord, why did you have us go? I mean, you know how we are. I mean, we were like suffering post-traumatic stress. Both of our immune systems actually shut down when we got home. We got sick.
I remember.
And it was from the emotion. But what the Lord said, now I can tell you on the sabbatical, you and the whole ministry grew in stature in the courts of heaven and in maturity because you shared in the suffering of the Lord. I know Israel invited us over there, but the Lord said, I needed your feet on the ground. I needed you blowing the shofars. I needed you to hug the neck of the commanders as they cried on your shoulder, because they won't do that in front of other people, but they know us. We're like parents in a way. He said, I trusted you with that. But you have to understand, the whole ministry grew in stature. I mean, the ministry raised and delivered $970,000 bulletproof vest and aid and, everything. $970,000 in 30 days.
Yeah.
And then right behind that, another million. So, I mean, we all grew. And the thing that we have to understand is in this month of Elul, I'll circle back, we need to be prepared for a tremendous transfer of authority, maturity, and finance. And all of those come together. Because if you don't have authority and you don't have maturity, then you will not have the finance. So all the finance is coming. This month of Elul is about preparing to be in the fall feast and to basically decree, declare, and receive the mantle of the key of David for this end time call. But see, so the Lord didn't have to tell me that, but I took a sabbatical. I'm not telling you to take 30 days like we did. Actually, it turned out to be about 26, whatever. Doesn't make a difference. The point is, I had to carve out the time to get still enough for he to bring peace to me. It's like, why did you have us over here? Not to mention when we were there, it's extremely dangerous. There were snipers and junk going on, and it's like, why were we there? And the Lord said, because Jesus grew in stature by what he suffered, you grew in stature because of what you suffered. And now you can carry that to House of David and Kurt Landry Ministries.
So let's do two things before we push out of this episode. Rabbi, if you're new to this channel, if you just found this episode, this video, this teaching on the Hebrew month of Elul, do yourself a favor, do us a favor, hit the subscribe button on your screen. Our promise to you, we're going to be extremely consistent with it. It's daily and weekly spiritual content. So we want to encourage you, if you're listening to this over on Spotify or Apple, just hit the follow button so then you get notifications for each new episode that we drop each week. Rabbi, funny enough, sometimes we have so much fun on the podcast because it's pretty much, it's 100% ad lib, right? And like, I love it that way because it's organic, it's real. You just let the Holy Spirit kind of take it where it needs to go. But one little piece of feedback that I think we can do maybe a little bit better, when you jump into a list, because like the stuff is so good, right? And we're giving practical steps on anything. A lot of people in the comments section would love us to finish out. If there's five things, we're going to get to the five things.
Well, what to do list?
Yeah. So you dropped that. So let's see.
Yeah, here
okay.
It is.
Okay. So we did we did three. You had six.
I'll go over them. I'll look right at the camera here.
Okay. Let's go.
Just for you to know, listen, I didn't plan on sharing any of that stuff. So I just come here. And that's why you have to be in anointed spaces. You have to be in places where there's prayer. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't mean this wrong, but I don't really care what I have to say. I want to know what the Lord has to say. Because I'm just a man, and I have opinions, but they're just opinions of man. I respect opinions of man, but I honor the opinion of God. So it's way different. So that's why with me, praise God, it's my program. I can let the Holy Spirit flow. But I would think that authenticity in the Holy Spirit is why you would want to follow us. But I will give you practical steps. Here they are. Number one, the month of Elul, prepare for a time of repentance and introspection. Repentance just means that you stop, don't apologize, but you repent and you stop doing the behavior that was causing the reason for the repentance. Okay. Number two, confess and abandon the things that have separated you from God. If you have bad behavior that's separating you from God, then you need to confess it and you need to repent and get it, just doing all this stuff in your head. When there's an altar call in a ministry, you know, you need to answer the altar call, but you also need to speak out and say, Lord, I was wrong. I ask you to forgive me. I've sinned against you, Lord, and you alone. Number three, embrace spiritual transformation. You have to embrace growth. So I kind of pre-programmed myself years ago that I'm never going to arrive. So enjoy the journey and don't focus on the destination. Number four, take what is considered dormant and create action, because you have gifts, you have dreams, and you have abilities. But if you don't use them and you're not practicing them, then identify what's dormant and activate and create new activity with it. And lastly, make choices to live in a heavenly perspective, meaning that you have a singleness of thought. It's Matthew 6:33, and I'll close with this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you.
It's a pretty good episode, Rabbi. Drop a comment. Let us know. Say amen. Drop a fire emoji. Thumbs up. Rabbi, we got through a list. I think people are so into the teaching of where the Holy Spirit's really taking you. We don't always have to finish a list. But I think in this episode, especially this Hebrew month, I mean, like, these are just gold nuggets, right? And I want to help try to make it as practical as we can, so then it can kind of be rinse, repeat, right? And then each new Hebrew year, there's so much happening and so much that you just got to be intentional about and just kind of slow down. So I appreciate you going back and diving into that. Rabbi, final word for everybody.
Final word, download Megan's blog on the Hebrew month of Elul, Gateway to Unlocking Your Potential. That's what I have here from my notes. Megan Marcelino is the one that does this every month. She has a gift. She's also a tremendous student of the word and also a lot of Hebrew study. She's really good. I'm not saying it because she's our daughter, but I would download this blog. And the thing that's good about it is not only will you have the notes, but there's a lot that I didn't share from here. You'll be able to pray into it and be prepared. So let me just speak this blessing over you. Lord, I ask that you send the fire and the hunger after God. I ask that hunger and that blessing of the Holy Spirit would rest upon you. This isn't about religion. This isn't about a church. This isn't about any of these man-made things. It's about your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I ask that fire and that power come. Let the inner burning of the Holy Spirit with fire lead you in this month of Elul to, listen, if you can't cry emotionally and be happy that the Lord's given you a second chance, you're not there yet. And the honesty for all of us is like, oh my gosh, praise God, I'm getting a second chance. And I will say this, biblically, there's no scripture that guarantees a second chance. The only scripture that even refers to second chance, it's called grace and mercy. May his grace and his mercy rest upon you to be able to not miss this time of your second chance. In Yeshua's name.
Amen and amen. Rabbi, for that link, Joel, our producer on the podcast, thank you, Joel. He's going to drop that in the description. We'll drop it in the chat as well, so you can get Megan's blog on the Hebrew month of Elul. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. We sure hope that this episode has just really given you a lot of spiritual insight. One thing before we go, and I ask this during the Shabbat post show that we do each week for our Friday night for Shabbats. If this message, if this podcast has helped you any, share it with someone that you know would benefit from its teaching. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you next week.